I'm gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. And I'll join him in that land where tears, no sorrows can be found. When I receive my mansion, robe and crown, oh Lord, I want a mansion, a robe and a crown, and there love will always abound. So let me with your throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion, robe and crown. And my head is bowed and bloodied now from the work that I've tried to do. But one day I'll be rewarded with a crown so bright and new. And I'll wear a smile so bright, for there'll be no cause for a frown. When I receive my mansion, robe and crown, oh Lord, I want a mansion, a robe and a crown, and there love will always abound. So let me with your throne surround. Lord, please reserve my mansion, robe and crown. Amen. Amen. Prayer is one of the most powerful tools we have in our arsenal as a Christian. To be able to pray on the behalf of someone means that you're going to go to the divine creator on their behalf. Means that there is nothing too small that you can't bring forth to God and know God is listening. And even more than the fact that God is listening, he is able to do something about your concern, your heartbreak, your fear, and your hopes. Prayer is one of the most beautiful things that we've ever had access to. And I want to clarify that before I say what I have to say next, because I don't want it to throw you off. Yes, prayer is important. Yes, prayer is powerful. Yes, prayer is great. But there is some time when I'll pray for you is not enough. There's some times when that term, that phrase, that clause, that group of words that we say to people, I'll pray for you, is just not going to cut it. Can I be honest with you for a moment? Can I keep it real, congregation? You know what, Matt? I'm just going to talk to you. How about that? You love me. We're friends. So I'm just going to talk to you, brother. There's a time when I'll pray for you isn't enough. And that time is when you, I, am able to do something about the situation in that moment. Does that make sense? So here's my confession, Matt. Sometimes after a long day of work, don't tell nobody else, just us. Sometimes after a long day at work, Matt, my feet hurt, my ankles hurt, my knees hurt, my hips hurt, my back hurts. All of that hurts. And I just want to go home and sit down. I want to tickle my daughters, and I want to harass my wife and get on her nerves, and I just want to relax for a little bit. But I have to run by the store and pick up something. And in the process of just trying to get in and out without being seen by anyone, someone says, hey, TJ. I say, hey, how are you doing? And then they say, well, let me tell you. And remember, I just want to go home. And so, again, this is just me and you. Sometimes after they tell me what's happening with them, I know if I get involved in this situation right now, it means it's going to be another hour and a half before I get home. So you know what I say to him sometimes, man? I say, I'm going to pray for you. Isn't that horrible? I know I'm the only person in here that's ever done that. Because y'all just looked at me with all type of judgment. We'll pretend I'm the only one. Okay. But I say, I'll pray for you. There are situations when people bring things my way, Matt. And I know if I get involved right now, I'm still going to be involved 6 months from now. And ain't nobody got time for that, Matt. So you know what I tell them sometimes? I'm going to be praying for you. And I really mean it. I really mean it. And I really do pray. But I have to imagine God is thinking when I'm going to him in prayer about a situation this person has been praying to God about all day long, and he sent me to that person to answer that prayer, and I'm sitting here talking to God saying, please, Lord, help this person. And he's saying, TJ, I sent you. What are you doing? There's a time when prayer isn't enough, Matt. And that time is when you, me, anybody else in this room has the means and the ability to serve that person. Because when we say we'll pray, what we're really saying is, I'm going to pray God send somebody else. I'm tired today, Lord. I don't feel like it today, Lord. Send somebody else to do it, Lord. I don't really want to do it, Lord. So I'm praying to you that you'll send somebody else, even though you've blessed me with the ability. You've blessed me with the time. You've blessed me with the finances. You've blessed me with a car and a home. You've blessed me with all of these things that I could help this person. But I'm begging that you send somebody else. What a shame. I mention that because I'm going to tell you something. And you don't have to say what your response is out loud, but I might guess what it is. If I were to tell you there are students at Freed Hardeman University who have never heard the gospel, what would your reaction be? As a congregation? As an individual, what would it be? I imagine some of you would say, I'm going to pray for them. And I am standing before you right now saying, if that is your response, it ain't good enough. Because we have the means. We have the ability. We have the location. We have the opportunity. Mark 16:15-16 says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. The gospel is a beautiful thing. And for a long time, I believed the gospel, and this is going to sound silly, but I believed, I was taught this from a young person, and I had it memorized. I believed the gospel was, you got to hear, you got to believe. Y'all finish it. You got to, yeah. And there was one more that was added later. Do y'all know that one? Amen. I believe that was the gospel. And on top of that, I had a verse that I had memorized that went with every single one of those. Amen. If that was you too. I believe that was the gospel. But church, that's not the gospel. That's how we're supposed to respond to the gospel. We're supposed to hear it and believe it. And after we've believed it, we're supposed to repent and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we're supposed to be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's supposed to happen after the gospel has been preached. The gospel is not those five steps. The gospel is the fact that Jesus has come and preached the good news, that Jesus has given his life, died for your sins in your place, risen from the dead to overcome sin and brokenness, has put death to death, and brings new life to all who put their trust in him. That is the gospel. And I'm telling you, there are boys and girls on a campus that is literally across the street from this great congregation and has never heard it. And some of us might say, well, I'll keep them in my prayers. And again, I suggest to you, that is not enough. That is not good enough. This morning, I challenge the college students that come to this congregation. I challenge them to make roots here. I challenge them to allow themselves to receive a relationship from this congregation. Allow their hearts to be open so that they can receive criticism, so that they can receive instruction, they can receive all sorts of things that will help them along their Christian journey. I challenge them this morning. But Henderson Church of Christ, I stand before you right now challenging you as a congregation and as an individual to take this verse and mean it. See, I don't know if you realize it or not, but all the world includes Fried Hardeman University. Did you know that? I Googled it. And I want to go back to this, because for a long time, I thought this verse, man, I mean, I hate to admit where I was once upon a time in my spirituality, but I thought this verse was a threat to non-Christians. If you're not baptized, you will be condemned. Watch out, watch out, watch out. It's not that at all. First, this wasn't written to them. This is written to me. It's written to you. For us to realize we have the voice, we have the hands and feet, we have the ability, we have the knowledge. And if you do go and share the gospel and someone responds to it, what a blessing it is that you have changed their life for eternity. It's a beautiful thing, but it also is a warning to me, and it says, TJ, if you don't, not because you can't, but because you won't, go and spread the word, share the good news, and someone never comes to know the saving grace of Jesus, someone never comes to know that they are in sin, but he is the cure for that sin, and they never realize what Jesus has for them, and they die in their sins, their destiny, their destination is to be condemned. TJ, that could be on you, brother. Are you okay with that? I encourage you. Do it, TJ. Share the message. Bless these individuals. Allow them to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. On our campus, we have strong Christians. We have weak Christians. We have new Christians. We have religious people who love the Lord with all of their heart and believe they're Christians but are not. We have atheists. We have homosexuals. We have people who are just looking for answers and lost. All of that is right across the street from this congregation. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." What if this congregation and every congregation in Henderson looked at Fried Hardeman University as a mission field? What if, when we looked at that verse, go into all the world, we didn't fly 1,000 miles away? And for those of you who do fly 1,000 miles away, keep doing it. Like, that's great. I'm not saying stop doing that. But I'm saying for those of us who aren't doing that and are looking for something to sink our teeth in, something that we can do to have a lasting effect on people, to look across the street at a place that's needing missionaries. And you might say, well, T.J. Fried Hardeman is associated with the church. You're right, but it ain't the church. Again, this morning I challenged students to plant roots here. Now I'm challenging you to live out God's command and go. Challenging you to go. It's the very beginning, the first part of this. He says to them, go. It's not hard. I don't have any Greek or Hebrew to back this up. I just have a simple command. Go. And when you get there, preach. Now, we talked about this morning. You can't preach or teach to folks without having a relationship with them. So how do we go about building that relationship? I just want you to imagine this, church. I want you to imagine. What if, and bear with me, what if a student at Fried Hardeman University needed a ride to the hospital, they were able to call this congregation and say, I need help. Can you get me to the hospital? And there was people here waiting on that call that could get them there, that could wait on them, and could bring them back. How beautiful would that be? How amazing would that be to build the trust and the respect that's needed for us to have a relationship to then share the gospel with an individual? And this is not just, hey, Henderson, you guys should. I'm thinking to everybody. I'm taking this back to Jack's Creek, too. So if y'all don't, we will. But I'm serious. Think about, we have a campus minister. What about campus missionaries? Think about this. What if at the girls' soccer game, 30 of us just showed up as the Henderson cheer section and just said, hey, we love you. We're here for you. We're cheering you on. If you need us for anything else, call us. We want a relationship with you. What about this? As the boys are coming down from their dorms to go to class in the morning, there was homemade fresh cinnamon rolls waiting on them in the lobby. Can I get an amen, college students?
Amen.
Right? Amen. Yes. Homemade fresh cinnamon rolls waiting for them in the lobby with a card that says, Jesus loves you. And if you need anything, you can call on us at the Henderson Church of Christ because we love you too. What about this? Think about before a long holiday when people are going to have to travel all the way home. What if the dads of the Henderson Church of Christ marched over to one of the girls' dorms and said, hey, we're here to inspect your vehicle. We're here to check your tire pressure. We're here to top off your fluids and to make sure your vehicle is safe to go home because we love and care about you and we want to serve you. Because Jesus loves you and we want to be an avenue that helps and shows the love of Christ in the things that we do. We want to be a missionary out here on this campus. Those are just some ideas I just scribbled down, you know. But I imagine with thought, with time, and with intention, there could be some things that this congregation could do. And as I stated earlier, every other congregation in this area could do to build relationships with these students that don't come to the church building. And that's the key. We have a fantastic crew that comes And we praise God that you come, and we're thankful that you come. But you know as well as everybody else in here that for every one of you, there's five or six that's still in the dorm, and that this congregation will never meet if we don't go. And so I challenge you this afternoon, live out this verse. And it doesn't take going overseas, doesn't take a visa or a passport. It just takes your willingness to build a relationship, to look at these students as souls that need to be saved, and maybe an awkward conversation as you get to know them a little bit. But the potential is there to save someone's soul for eternity. This morning, I challenge them. This evening, I challenge you. Go. Love, serve, and save. Before I take my seat, I have to clear up something from this morning. I meant to do it at the beginning of the lesson, but I started singing and I forgot. Sorry. But this morning, I told a story about a man who invited a friend over his house, and his friend bought a case of beer. And as I thought about it, I went, you know what? I need to finish that story. Because I can't have y'all thinking, yeah, they partied on it. No, they didn't. They didn't drink the beer. But they simply set it beside everything else so that he could feel welcome and that he could feel trusted and loved. And eventually that relationship could build on. And like I said, he's a faithful member now. But I didn't finish that story, and so maybe some of you guys left with the idea that, yeah, he brought a keg and we just had a Church of Christ party. But that's not what happened at all. So I just wanted to clear that up a little bit. Again, the opportunity is there for us to all serve and to save. This afternoon, if it's on your heart and mind right now that there's some things that you want to get right, some things that you want to change, some opportunities that you've been missing, or some times that you've been saying, I'll pray for you, when you should be saying, I'll serve you. I challenge you to make that right, right now. In a moment, we'll have some brothers up here who are willing to speak with you. If you've decided that, you know what, I haven't been a part of the body and I want to become baptized, the opportunity presents itself now as well. And if you've been thinking about it for a long time and you're still unsure, come talk to one of us and we can help guide you through your thoughts and your questions and all of that. If you have any need of this congregation at all, let it be known as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.